All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. This is going to make FluffTube. I told you about the rules and regulations that we have to do for FluffTube. Keep the punches high, no punches below the belt. In case of a knockdown, run to the neutral corner, no standing eight count. Told them the whole thing. Folks, this is going to be a good one. This is basically what I like to say, the beginning, where it all began after World War II, the 50s, the 60s revolution, free love, drugs, sex, the Beatles. We're going to cover all of that, the music industry, the Doors, Jim Morrison, and how it all led into, what did you say, a giant, I guess it's always been a giant psyop into leading into today, and how it engineered us into what engineering, programming society for decades to lead us to where we are right now, breaking up the family, the whole thing. Everyone, I'm introducing Mike Williams, correct? Mike Williams?
That's correct, David.
Man, so you have a very popular channel called Sage Aquay on Rumble, correct?
Well, it's YouTube, Rumble, BitChute. So I've got
platforms. You're on YouTube? I didn't know you were on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, yep.
Well, folks, show him some love. Go to his channel, Sage Aquay. Man, I'm really excited about this because I'm intrigued by this. I want to start off with, I guess, could we, you know, I know about like certain projects like Project Paperclip and things of that nature. Where can we start with this? How do we take people down the road of how society has been engineered and basically groomed through this whole time to be where we're at right now, breaking up the family, free love, free sex, drugs, alcohol, the whole thing, ruin America? I mean, that was the objective, correct?
Yeah, that's the objective. So I guess we could go back to the early 1900s, David, right when we had the Industrial Revolution. And what folks have to understand is, there is a controlling network, a controlling apparatus that runs the show. So folks will believe that the president runs the country or a prime minister runs the country. Those are just figureheads in front of the curtain. So like in The Wizard of Oz, you got to pierce the veil, look behind the curtain to see the Great Oz. And going back to World War One, first of all of the wars that are created by the controllers to benefit the controllers. This is something else that we have to understand. So our entire reality, everything, just about everything that we interact with from the standpoint of touch points and going shopping, buying a car, buying a house, buying land, going to work, that is all controlled by them. This is their reality. They have put it in place. And we operate within it. Like many people don't understand that, as an example, when you buy property, you never actually own the property. Right. You rent it. Take a look at the contract that you signed. That's why there's property taxes. Property taxes is a perpetual lien against the property that many people believe that they own. So as an example, if you have a house on your property and you pay your house off, try not paying your property taxes.
Exactly.
In most states, not only will they look to take the property, but they're going to also attempt to take your house and sell it. So I'm just pointing that out to try to put a frame around what we're talking about here. So back in the early 1900s, there was a gentleman by the name of Aleister Crowley.
The Satan worshiper, correct?
Yeah, Aleister was an occultist, a black magician, and he also is the founder of the religion Thelema. And as Crowley went about his ways, he was also a British agent working with the British military and intelligence during World War One. As an occultist, he was held in very high esteem by those that are in power. Without getting into a lot of great detail here, because we can do an entire show on what Crowley was all about.
Do you think we could dive deeper on Nino's Corner.tv so we could do some, so we don't have to be so censored at some point?
Yeah. I'm going to we won't get censored on this.
This is going to be kind of like a broad brush stroke over everything.
Broad brush, right.
I would like to go into like segments on Nino's Corner, if you're open to it, on Nino's Corner.tv and really dive deep into this and make it a series.
Yeah. We could do that.
Okay.
So what Crowley did, and the reason why I'm just setting it up, is He had an ideology, he had a philosophy that goes back to the Egyptian mysteries. And what we have to understand is all of this control mechanism, the people that are within it, especially the higher up the chain you go, they're occultists. The world is run by occultists. So Crowley had to find a new age, what he called the Aeon of Horus, and what many people are referring to today as the Age of Aquarius. Prior to the Age of Aquarius was the Age of Pisces. And Crowley defined that as the Age of Osiris. Now, in his teachings and his philosophy, he put forth a premise that the old age is ending. The Age of Pisces is ending, what roughly equates to his Age of Osiris, and a new age is coming about. It's the Age of Horus. It's the Aeon of Horus, the Age of Aquarius. Now, because they're occultists, there's a process of alchemy in order to bring about transformation. That alchemical process says that when you move from one point, point A to point B, in this case, from one age or one Aeon, the Aeon of Horus or the Age of Pisces to the Aeon of, the Aeon of Osiris to the Aeon of Horus, or the Age of Pisces to the Age of Aquarius, it's not just a matter of just moving there. You have got to break down and remove everything from the previous age. You can't have any remnants of the old if you're going to bring in the new. So what we're going through and what we have been going through, especially, I put the stake in the ground since 1960, but it was going on before 1960. But 1960 is when they started putting the pedal to the metal. So what they're doing is they're systematically breaking down the old structures, the traditional values, as an example, family values, going after, quote, institutionalized religions, in particular Christianity, because it was the most dominant. And so they're breaking it all down and they invert. They as an example, they'll take a lot of Christian symbolism and
the peace sign.
Yes. And they will invert it.
That's the inverted cross broken, correct?
Inverted cross. Exactly. Even today, but the rainbow is flipped. It's inverted. That's all I'm going to say.
That's correct. You're right.
Because the rainbow represents the chakras within the human body. There's seven primary energy centers within the body. And the top is purple. Red is the base chakra, but it's flipped. Right? Your crown chakra, purple, is enlightenment. It's awakening. And it's turned upside down. Okay. So, what we're going through is an alchemical process that the cultic elite practice and what they're putting forth in order to bring about their new age. Now, their new age is, many people are going to refer to it as the New World Order or the One World Government, but it's going to exist with a lot fewer people. What they're looking for are people that follow their philosophy or their ideology. In other words, literalists. That's what they're looking for. They don't want anybody that's going to cut across the grain and give them any problems. So they're looking for a world where they've got their congregation and they're
a hive mind.
Exactly. Right. A hive mind. And we see this
where AI controls it all.
Yes. Yes. Where the
AI is. There's nobody out. Yeah. No one to, you know, give their voice, their opinions. Everyone stands in line. Everyone does what they're told, type of thing, like drones.
Right. So, well, they're going to use that as the, as a way to segue from the old age to the new age, the AI. I think once they get to their new age, they'll still have the technology, but it'll be used in a different way, because in their minds, they're going to have a population that's going to be bought into their tenets, into their philosophy. So I think the technology at that point will be shifted over to be beneficial to their needs in general, versus using it as a way in which to get rid of people, to socially transform or engineer the population.
Wow.
Okay. So this is a whole process. Now, We've all heard about 2030, Agenda 2030, which is a checkpoint within Agenda 21. So Agenda 21 is the overall transformative plan that they have in place. So
I thought Agenda 21 kind of went bunk, so they kicked it to 2030. I mean,
no. Agenda 21 is still in play. Think of Agenda 21 as the total project plan.
Okay.
And Agenda 2030 is a checkpoint within the overall project plan. So after 2030, there'll be Agenda 2040, 2050, 2060, 70, and so on. I believe that their goal is by the time they get to the year 2100, that's their plan. That's when they believe they'll have the entire thing, the world transformed.
So they're patient. They're very patient.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They plan not only decades, but centuries in advance. And because all of their, the people and the organizations that run the world, they're bloodlined. Okay. So they just keep passing the baton along, and they view it as time is on their side. And that's how they do their transformative process.
Because so, you would think that, you know, they would be eager to see the fruition of what they're doing, of what they're laying, you know, the seeds they're planting. They'd be wanting to see this. And so you're telling me that they're just so patient that they just depend on their bloodline to where they're just, they understand that they need to be patient and let this process play out all the way to really come to the end result, which will be 2100.
Yes. So we have to understand, folks, that there are two different worlds. There's the world we operate in, which I refer to as living outside the pyramid of power. So they're inside the pyramid of power. We're outside of it. Their world is inside. And the two worlds are completely different. They get different education. It's just a whole different way of life and perspective about what life and living is all about. In their minds, they are the ultimate controllers. It's them.
So what do you say to people that are Christians that are watching, my audience that's watching right now, these people that are inside the pyramid, as you say, do they know the absolute truth of existence? Do they understand how the matrix works? Or is it really a battle of good and evil?
It's a battle. It is a battle of good and evil. It's a spiritual battle.
So they don't really contain the truth then. It's not like they're keeping the truth within themselves and not sharing it because that's how they control the power. This really is an evil versus good dynamic here, right? That's what's going on here.
It's both, David. So They know the truth about existence. Reality, okay? They go back to the ancient mysteries. So in the case of Aleister Crowley, he goes back to the Egyptian mysteries, but it also goes back to Babylon. It goes back to the Greek and the Romans, all of that. So they have all of this stuff understood. And that's what I'm saying. Their world is very different. They tell us that the mysteries and the gods of mythology are all comic book types of stuff. You know, don't pay any attention to that. Those gods never really existed. That's something you go to a movie to go watch. You go to go watch Thor as an example.
Right, right.
I never discounted mythology because mythology through history, going back to the ancients, this was a way that they were able to express the true structure of reality. See, the controllers want to put everything into the five senses. If you can't see it, feel it, it doesn't exist. And that's absolutely not true. So what they do is they keep information and truth from us. They know the truth. I'm not saying that, you know, that they're using it for good. They're just keeping it from us so that we don't get any smarter and we don't have any leverage in order to really be able to fight back the way we need to fight back, even though we're making a lot of progress. I'll say that. A lot of people are becoming at least aware, and there are those people who are becoming
awake. It's almost like me being an alcoholic is being aware of it, understanding like that's a problem, and then you can fix it. But you got to be aware of it first.
Yes, you have to be aware of it first. You have to have that awareness. And from there, that's the first step on the ladder. And then you climb up the ladder and you get further and further down the road. You gain more and more knowledge, more and more wisdom, and you start to figure this whole thing out. So that's what they do. They keep information from us. And because they're occultists and because they go back to the ancient mysteries, they're also knee deep into magic and ritual. See, that's the other thing. A lot of folks don't believe that that stuff is real. That's where
you lose a lot of people right there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they think it's just Harry Potter stuff, but they practice ritual and occultism every single day.
I've heard even before they put an album out, before they make a movie, they put a spell on that.
Yes. Yes. This was
and
something
that right there. People just look at that. They go, oh, I'm turning this off. No, this is real.
No, I mean, it's look, when you try to explain to people about ritual sacrifice, they don't think that's real. If you try to talk to them about the trafficking, they don't think that's real. See, the problem is people, they disconnect from it. They go into denial. And many times it's because of the conditioning, because you've been told your entire life that that stuff doesn't really exist. And, or you do know it exists, but you have cognitive dissonance. You just don't want to deal with it.
It's just an overload. It's an overload on your psyche, and you just turn it off.
It could become extremely overwhelming, and then people just get on with their lives. One of the tricks of the trade that the controllers do, part of their whole occultism and their ritual and their magic and all that stuff, is to keep you busy. It's to keep you busy with inane stuff. It's to keep you distracted. It's to keep you in front of your television set. It's to keep you engaged with music. It's to keep you worshiping the lesser gods. So the lesser
bread and
circus, right?
Right. So that's why athletes are paid so much money, because they are the jesters. Or the jesters. Is it jesters or chesters?
The jesters, yes.
Yeah, the jesters, yeah.
So, but what happens is they people worship the athletes. People worship the politicians. People worship the Silicon Valley icons, the so-called icons. They worship their entertainers, their celebrities. They worship all of these people. So when you worship folks, what you're doing is you are disempowering yourself, because you are giving up your authority.
Can I just say something here? I think now it's gotten even worse in the last 5 years with Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, because now people are into self-worship. Everyone thinks they are a celebrity. You know, it started with the reality shows, and now everyone thinks they have their own reality show on their Instagram channel or on their Facebook or on their TikTok. It's gotten, everyone thinks they're famous, man. The narcissism is off the charts.
Yeah, they're narcissists. It's a narcissistic society. That's what the controllers have created. So social media was created by the controllers. Everything that you interact with was put in place by them. And it's all put in place to do a couple of things. One is to distract you. Two, it is to dumb you down. Three, if you're on Facebook, Instagram, and all these other social media applications, these platforms, they are data collection entities.
DARPA funded, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the CIA. And in fact, Facebook was funded by the CIA to get started. So whenever you're interacting on social media, what happens is all of this information is being funneled into the AI. And this allows them to be able to really get a much better understanding. They're really starting to get pinpointed now with regard to human behavior. How humans will react, how they will behave given a certain set of circumstances or situations. What in all likelihood is going to happen? So the AI is going to kick out a couple of scenarios. Here's scenario A, B, or C if you do this. Which of these three scenarios is most likely? Well, then, you know, the AI is going to say B is probably the most likely if you set that particular plan in place.
Which this makes complete sense now why Elon bought Twitter. And he's allowing free, so-called free speech to go on that platform, because now he's getting all the data he needs.
Yeah, yeah. So don't be fooled.
So by eliminating the data, which they were doing, is eliminating the process of AI, is eliminating the potential of the AI that he is creating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're saying Musk is gathering up data. Is that what you're...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What he's doing is... the monster, the most monstrous data dump ever is happening right now on Twitter, and they're collecting everyone's data by saying it's free speech. And what it's doing ultimately is just collecting everything.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I had a guy on, about 7 or 8 years ago. He used to work for Google. And he told me that Google was scraping data every which way from Sunday, and not just from Google products. So if you were using a non-Google browser, as an example, people were thinking, well, I'm safe. I'm not using a Google. I'm not using Chrome. And he said, wrong. He said, because anything that Google was plugged into, was attached to, was fair game in Google's mind to scrape data. Now, that's going back about 8 years ago, David. So think about where they've gone since. Now all of this,
win against something like this, man.
This is the thing. We can win this, but people have to wake up. People have to stop participating in all of this garbage that they're giving us. Get off of Facebook. Get off of all of these platforms. Now, I'm not saying, if every once in a while you got to connect to a family member or something like that, although you could still give your family member a call, or if they live close enough, you could drive by and actually talk to them face to face. That is a novel idea, right?
Yeah.
But we have to disconnect from this stuff. So part of the plan and part of the strategy of the control is convenience. It's to make things very convenient, because convenience then creates the feeling that you don't really have to do much. You become docile. And at times, many people even become apathetic. You were talking about before about the overflow, being overwhelmed by a level of information. If you become aware or awake, that's what happens to some people. Some of them just shut down, and then apathy sets in. Right. So the plan they have in place is full spectrum dominance. That's what it's referred to. But we can break the code, and the thing is, we have to push back. We have to not participate in their schemes. We have to become aware when a psychological operation has been put into play. We have to learn to say, no, I'm not doing that. We have to resist. And of course, for a lot of people, it's difficult because they're fearful. They're afraid something bad's going to happen to them if they push back or if they say no. But you're not going to win this by being fearful. You're going to have to push through the fear. And is there going to be some pain? Yeah, there's going to be some pain. I'm not saying this is going to be, it's not easy street. Nothing worth attaining, achieving is ever easy. It's not going to be handed to you on a silver platter. So all of this scheming, all of this strategy, all of this social engineering, all of this social transformation emanates out of Tavistock. Before we started, you asked me about Tavistock. So Tavistock is in the business of mind control, brainwashing, and social engineering. It got its start back in the 1920s. It was connected into, and still is today, British military, British intelligence. And then it became the Tavistock Institute in 1947. Sigmund Freud was their poster child. And Tavistock's tentacles are everywhere. They have brought into their fold, they have adopted occultism as part of their approach and ways of doing things. Drugs is a big, big piece of Tavistock's.
Let's start with the beginning here. Can we kick it off with the 50s, 60s?
Yeah.
And take it from there, and then take my audience through this process.
Yeah. So we had the process. I told you about Aleister Crowley, and he's got his Aeon of Horus on the horizon. And that's what they're looking for. That's how they're defining the Age of Aquarius. That's how they are defining it. That's not necessarily how it's supposed to pan out. Everything they do, David, is not organic. Everything they do is not natural. Everything they do is engineered. Okay. So starting in the 1950s, I'll just start with 50s. We'll talk about Elvis as an example. They were all put in place, whether the artists knew it or not, as part of a social engineering initiative to alter the very fabric of our society and our culture. And I'm talking about worldwide. So when Elvis came onto the stage, and he's shaking on the stage with his hips and all that stuff. I mean, this was something that was not seen before mainstream. And, when we look back at it now, we think, oh, that's just, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
But we,
compared to now, but that's exactly what they wanted. Where we're at
right.
now.
And they're very, very methodical and incremental and very, very smart about how they go about this. Everything they do starts at a small point. They just can't hit everybody over the head with a hammer initially because people will wake up and they'll say, hey, wait a minute, what is that? So they start small and then they start building. It's like walking up a staircase. So we get past Elvis, we get past the 1950s, and Tavistock creates the Beatles.
Before you get into the Beatles, Elvis, you're saying was part of this process. Was
Yeah.
he a CIA creation?
Yeah, he was a Tavistock creation. But
Wasn't he trying to change like switch the wasn't he I heard, now this is a rumor. I don't know if this is true, but I've heard rumors that he was complaining about the CIA being involved in the music industry, and he started voicing out about it and speaking to people about it. He was very concerned. Is
yeah.
that true?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard those stories too.
Because then that would make me believe that maybe he was off.
He could have been. Absolutely, he could have been. And that's why I said the artists are participating in their scheme, whether they know it or not, knowingly or unknowingly. So even in the case, let's just say the story about Elvis is true, and he suspects that something is up, that there are people lurking around that, he's uncomfortable with. But he's still in the game. He's still singing. He's still doing his deal. Right?
Right.
So you can question all you want, Elvis, but you're still marching along to what they're asking you to do. Right? So this is the thing. Even when people are sensing that something is off, they're still on that path. Many times it's because, hey, there's a paycheck, number one. Exactly. There's money. There's
That's
money,
money.
right? It's
Money
money.
and they
Money is
get
the
promised
carrot.
money, fame, pussy, everything. They go for it all.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to give them what they perceive as all the pleasures of the material world.
Yeah, how can you go against that? Anybody,
Right.
they're
As,
gonna fall into it, 100
and you're
percent.
young, especially when you're
Yeah,
young.
when you're young.
Right? So it's, and then, like I said, it led into the Beatles, and the Beatles were huge because really the Beatles were the first major music pop rock initiative that Tavistock put out there that was defined to change the world, transform the world worldwide.
So it wasn't Elvis really, it was the Beatles. That was the
Yeah.
big one.
Elvis was a, think of Elvis as kind of a precursor
Yeah, he
to
started
the
moving his hips
Beatles.
a little bit, but I mean the Beatles were kind of to me like, eh.
Yeah, but what the Beatles did was that the Beatles brought in, it was a completely different style of music. So what, when the Beatles are first brought in, like I mentioned before, David, what they do is they start at a basic level. So when you listen to the Beatles' first album, as an example, Please, Please Me, you're getting basic rock and roll,
Right,
pop
right.
stuff, right? You're thinking, all right, well, how bad can that be? But, it was the clothing, it was the hair, it was during the interviews, it was the attitude. The attitude was, if you think about it, if you go back and play the old interviews, there was pushback against the establishment. There was that started to come across in the interviews of not only the Beatles, but the Rolling Stones were also a creation of Tavistock, as well as the entire British invasion, the bands going back into the 1960s, going into the 70s, as well as all of the other genres that followed. We have punk rock, we have glam, metal, hard rock, techno, rap. It's all part of Tavistock's agenda because they know that each genre of music has a certain runway, shelf
Right,
life.
and regarding rap and hip hop, I've met Rick Ross, and
Okay.
I've talked to Rick Ross, in at the fights many times,
Yeah.
and he told me how the CIA was completely involved in hip hop,
Absolutely.
and in
Yes, absolutely. So the turning point for the Beatles, as far as their impact to social engineering, was the psychedelic era. So in 1967, which was considered referred to as the Summer of Love, That's when LSD was introduced into the mainstream of society, full blown. It started with the Monterey Pop Festival, which was organized by John Phillips, the guy that's playing Paul McCartney, whose real name is Billy Shears, Billy Campbell,
you really
Billy Shepherd.
Paul McCartney died, or he was murdered, or you think there's an actor playing McCartney right now?
Yeah. So the guy,
I don't know anything about it. I've heard this.
Yeah. So just quickly, I know I don't want to.
No, it's okay. I'm so intrigued, dude. You have no idea.
Yeah. So the guy that's playing Paul McCartney today is not the original biological Paul McCartney. The original Paul McCartney was replaced. He disappeared back in 1966, late 1966. Wow. So the way the conspiracy goes is that he was killed in a car crash. But again, that's just how the conspiracy goes.
Do you know why they would want to take him out? Was he seeing the truth behind the scenes and he was growing a conscience maybe? Or why would he be taken out?
He was part of a... I'll give you, based upon my research, there are going to be people who have different opinions on this thing, but based upon my research, the Beatles were a very occulted entity. And I'm not talking about the individuals themselves, but I'm talking about the controlling apparatus all around the Beatles. It's knee-deep in Crowleyism. It's knee-deep in occultism. So biological Paul McCartney, in all likelihood, was part of a ritual sacrifice.
Wow.
And in fact, for people who are interested, I have nothing to do with this book. Okay. I'm not getting any money from it or anything, but this is the book. It's the Memoirs of Billy Shears.
Wow.
Written by Tommy Z.U. Harriet. Now, it's classified as historical fiction.
I can tell you've been researching it. You got thumb notes, paper notes.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at this book since 2016. There's been a number of editions that have come out, David. The person behind this book is the person that's playing the role of Paul McCartney.
Wow.
Okay, so all I'll say is, if you're interested in this conspiracy, if you're interested in the replacement of Paul McCartney, what is referred to as the Paul is Dead conspiracy, I call it the McCartney conspiracy and the Beatles conspiracy, you might want to take a look at this book. But the Beatles' main impact was the introduction of the psychedelic era, the introduction of drugs into the culture. And they had a major, major impact, especially with the release of their album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And so, of course, we had a cast
all their
of
songs really have an impact and meaning, right? There's always an undertone, there's a meaning behind each of and every one of their songs, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I mean, they all have a meaning that are part of this agenda, correct? That give into this agenda, right?
So
like a spell, what would you call it?
Yeah, so this is, it's interesting you should ask this, and you have never read this book, right? Showed you.
Okay. No, I've never read it.
So starting when Billy joined the band in late 1966, Paul allegedly died September 11th, 1966. So September 11th is a very occulted date in the occult. So when Billy took over the band, all of the songs during his period as a Beatle from 67 through 1970 had to do with the death of Paul McCartney. And of course, many of these clues are very subliminal. So it's not going to be obvious by just listening to the songs. If you buy the book, he tells you exactly what to look for in the songs to pick up the death clues and the theme or the thread they have with regard to biological Paul's death. That goes back to what you were saying before about the occultism that is in music. So when you think about it, what's going on with the Beatles music especially from 67 through 1970 is we are getting that occultism, that thread running through the songs all the time. So people are singing them. They're being played on the radio. We have tons and tons of tribute bands today keeping that ritual alive. That's really what it is. And I know it sounds really crazy to a lot of folks. Folks, let me just explain.
No, it doesn't.
Before 2016, before I read the first edition of that book, I was drinking Beatle Kool-Aid, okay? I was a huge Beatle freak. I'm a songwriter. I'm a musician. And they were the basis of everything I did musically. Take a look behind me. Look at I got the Abbey Road sign still above my head. Okay. And then I woke up and I started looking into it. But the Beatles were really the foundation. They were foundational to all of the music and the genres that came forth after them. Because as I mentioned, the Beatles were steeped in the philosophy of Aleister Crowley, his religion Thelema, and occultism, which includes ritual, ceremony, numerology, gematria, alchemy,
so do you think Elvis Presley hated the Beatles because not just because they stole his thunder, but because of this?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's possible that Elvis knew that the Beatles were not organic. It's possible that he knew that that they were a construct of Tavistock, that they were put together. I've done research on this where I have done two major presentations on my channels. I have a Paul is Dead channel. I have my regular Sage Equate channel where I put forth the theory that the Beatles did not write all of their own music and they did not play on all of their own recorded tracks. Now, this turned a lot of people's worlds upside down, but I believe that the evidence that I put forth is very compelling. And what I tell my audience is, you don't have to take my word for it. Watch the presentations, see if it resonates with you, and then go off and go do your own research to either validate or you think you can debunk it, knock yourself out. But I've been at this a long time. So it's possible that, and again, I'm just throwing this out there. I have no idea what Elvis was thinking or not.
Right, I'm just
he may have just said, well, I know this is not real.
Yeah.
And in Elvis's mind, perhaps he thought that he came up through the ranks more organically. And so, perhaps that was, his train of thought, but I really don't know. But music, David, and entertainment, we talk about entertainment, of course, we're talking about Hollywood. And I know you know all about, the whole Hollywood entertainment piece of this. I mean, being in boxing, you're going to see a lot of stuff. I'm very good friends with Vince and who was in the in Vince Russo, who was in the wrestling business, and Vince told me all about what was going on, what goes on in the wrestling business. It's all entertainment too.
Yeah.
But in any case, music is used, folks, to steer you. It's to give you a certain mindset. It's to get you to adopt certain morals, ethics, beliefs. It's to get you to move in a certain direction. It's to get you to go down a path that maybe...
Because it's all done through frequency and vibration. And we are vibrational beings.
Yes.
And that's how you program. That's how you insert. That's how you program through the vibration, correct?
Very important. Yes. Music, sound is extremely important to human beings. So certain sounds put through music can subconsciously move you and steer you in a certain direction. Lyrics, backmasking, it's just a whole toolbox of stuff that they deploy in order to social engineer and transform societies and cultures.
Before we move more into that, let's talk about, what about Jim Morrison? And because there's other groups that were spawned in the 60s, correct? Jim Morrison, the Doors. I mean, I heard he was a CIA concoction as well.
Well, his father was the admiral that was involved in the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which kicked off the Vietnam War. Okay. So the Doors, Zappa, a lot of people don't like to hear this. Crosby, Stills, Nash,
Abba,
and Young.
Did you say, or who? The Doors, who else?
Frank Zappa.
Zappa, okay.
A lot of people don't like to hear that because they believe that Frank was anti-establishment. Now, there's a lot of things that Frank Zappa said that were anti-establishment. And I've seen all this stuff, and I have a lot of respect for some of the things that he said. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't controlled opposition either. We have to give that a consideration. I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying we have to give that consideration. We have to not shut any doors on this, folks, because what's going on today, if you can't see it, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's going to change. It's changing the very fabric of our reality and how your life and your kids' life and your grandchildren's lives are going to be. But you've got the Doors, you've got Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Frank Zappa, Jimi Hendrix. You know, you've got the Beach Boys, you got the Monkees.
I mean, they couldn't all be involved, right? I mean, some of them, I mean, could they? I mean, I guess if you're going to sign on that dotted line with a record company, you basically...
There were degrees of involvement, David. Right. So there were degrees. So there are those that are, they're there. They're placed in certain positions because they're bloodline. As an example, this guy, Billy Shears, who's plays the part of Paul McCartney, he's in the system. He's bloodlined. He's supposed to be there. Okay. He was identified early on in his life to be in a position, a very powerful, influential position down the line. And he was shaped and molded to be there along the way. There are other artists that are not bloodlined, but they might be in a secret society. So if you're in a secret society, as an example, you're a Freemason, right? And you have your oaths, which they call their obligations, then they're going to be developed as well because their oaths supersede and override anything else. So there's a very, very high level of confidence that they're going to stick to the game plan given the positions that they're given, whether it be in bands, whether it be in entertainment, you know, celebrities, actors and stuff like that. Then you have this other tier. The other tier would be people that are not in secret societies and not bloodline. They're just folks that have some skill. They have some talent.
And they're used as useful idiots.
They're identified. Yeah, they're identified. They're plucked. So what happens is Tavistock keeps a pool of resource. They've got their tentacles everywhere. And they bring people in. Hey, we can do this with that person. If we shape them and mold them the way we need them to be shaped and molded, appearance-wise, the type of music or their acting, whatever it may be, we can move the agenda forward. They're going to help us move the agenda forward. Jeez. And these folks, in all likelihood, are not even aware that they're doing this. Going back to bands for a moment, let me give you another example. There are bands that I'm sure that were, you know, they were not sitting there on the sidelines with pom-poms rooting for the New World Order or the Illuminati, however you want to refer to the controllers. And they were putting music out. But their album covers reflected what? It reflected Illuminati and secret society symbolism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So
seen it over and over again.
Over and over again. So what happens is it's the packaging of the album. It's the album art. It's the way they dress. It's just the whole theatrics. It's the presentation. That's probably how I should explain it. It's the entirety of the presentation. And you don't have to be in lockstep, but you are a participant. You're getting paid. You like the money. Hey, let's face it. Who doesn't want to be a rock star? Who doesn't want to be a famous band? I did when I was a kid. That's how I got into all this, you know? So there are multiple tiers. There's three tiers. Those are the three I just mentioned. You know, you're just a very talented person and they pluck you out and then they're going to do what they do to try to shape you and get you to where they want you to be to do their work for them. There are those that are in secret societies, like I said, because of their oaths. Good bet, really, you know, high odds that they're going to follow through because they have their oaths. And then you have those at the very top of the tier, the very top of the entertainment and music business who are bloodlined one way or another. And they were identified very early on in their lives as being placed in very prominent positions. And this goes on everywhere. So, you know, fame and fortune in this world is not achieved by luck. There is a machine behind it all. And this is what I try to explain to people about the Beatles too. You don't achieve that level of prominence, fame, and fortune if you don't have a major league machine behind you pushing you along.
To fulfill the agenda.
It just doesn't happen, David. I know you know this. But a lot of people don't know this. There's a lot of people that they buy into these stories, the stories that you're given about how these bands started and how these celebrities got started and everything else. Most of those stories are nonsense. You know, they're highly fictional and fabricated.
You see the actors today, actors, musicians selling out to Biden. They're saying, okay, hey, look, my daughter, my son is identifies as this, that, and them or whatever. And I think that's them, you know, that's them giving in the industry. I really believe that.
Because they have to.
Right.
Because you know, they sign on a dotted line. Now, we talked earlier before the show started. So if they bring you in, they dangle carrots all the time. So everything that you do, if you want to be famous, has got to be done because you consented to do it. They're not going to force you, but they will incent you.
Free will, correct?
It's free will.
You can be pressured, and if you fold, that's still your fault.
Right, because they'll dangle the carrot and they'll say, hey, look at all this money we've got for you if you take the next step on the ladder. But it's your free will that can say yes or no. So if you say no, then it's no. Then you don't get, you know, the money that they're dangling in front of you or whatever else they're promising that you'll have if you take it. But then if you take it, then there are obligations. You're essentially contractually obligated to do what they tell you to do. Otherwise, you're in breach of whatever it is you signed.
And look at the corrosion of the music industry. I mean, look at it where it's at right now. I mean, I really thought like in the 90s, that was like, wow, this is the most twisted decade there is. I remember living through the 90s thinking, I know it's going to get worse. I don't see how it's going to get worse. We had, you know, gangster rap come in talking about killing police and shit like that. I'm like, how does it get any worse than that? Wow, I was wrong. Look at now. I mean, look what you have now. I mean, this was a process. This was a process to bring us to the culmination of where we're at right now of degenerate, deviant behavior that anything goes. And if you are a conservative, white, Christian, whatever, male especially, you are deemed the demon, the epitome of a demon. They look down upon you. And this is all, you know, I really saw it kick off hard, really hard, was with the NWA. And the gangster rap, and then go into the, you know, you had the hair bands, and then that ended with an abrupt boom, Nirvana, the 90s kickoff of the grunge scene and gangster rap. And then it went into Yo MTV Raps. And then now look where we're at.
Right. Just think of the names of the genres, David. Grunge, punk, glam, right? David Bowie was introduced because David Bowie was the beginning of testing the waters for androgyny.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? Glam bands.
Or Queen. I mean, Queen.
And Queen. Queen. Yeah. Right? Elton John. I mean, Elton was like the Liberace of rock, right?
Yeah,
Freddie, right? Freddie Mercury. And then you had the glam bands. And that was the introduction of men dressing up as women.
Oh, you mean the hair? Poison. Boom. There you go. You're right.
Okay.
So a lot of people would say like, yeah, that's just the natural process of music. You're saying absolutely not.
No, that's not natural at all. I mean, why is it natural that a man would go dress up and look like a woman with big hair and makeup and go out and play guitar?
Right.
All of these genres are created. It's a strategy that emanates out of Tavistock. Tavistock rolls in under the Committee of 300. Okay. So the Committee of 300 are 300 people. They call themselves the Olympians. Okay, that's how much they think of themselves. Okay, read this book by John Coleman, The Committee of 300. This is the third edition. I think there's five editions out. The fourth and fifth are difficult to get, and if you do find them, they're expensive. He lays it all out. Coleman was an insider, used to be with British intelligence. He lays it all out. If you want to learn about Tavistock, David Estelin's book is a good book. I don't agree with everything that David has in the book, but 95% of what he has in here is rock solid. So I just want to let people know that, you know, when I talk about this stuff, I'm just not, you know, pulling it out of my butt.
Can we go into more detail on ninoscorner.tv? Can we do a series on this? I would love to dive deep. I'd like to get your thoughts on Michael Jackson. I mean, the whole thing, man. You seem to be an expert in this field. So
Well, actually, I mean, my expertise is actually with the Beatles. I mean, I could talk to these a lot of these other artists and stuff like that, but I have another colleague who can talk to a lot of this stuff. That's Mark Devlin.
Oh,
So
okay.
you can have me, or you can have
Can I
Mark, if
get you on
Mark and,
together?
or Mark and I yet on together, and we could
I would
talk about this
love to
stuff.
dive deep into this, man.
I mean, I think Mark has written three books on the music industry.
Do you know? So let's just do a little pivot real quick, because I
Yeah.
know we're coming to a close here. The movie industry, okay,
Yeah.
that's just as powerful, if not more powerful,
Oh,
correct?
yeah.
Because they use visualization and they use what you hear, what you know, see and hear, it becomes a reality to you. Just as important as the music industry. So I guess it all kicked off at about the same time, correct?
Yeah. So Hollywood started getting into high gear with the Aeon of Horus as well. So when I talk about the Aeon of Horus again, folks, again, what I'm talking about is the transformation we're currently going through. We're seeing the destruction of the old, and that's why we're seeing all of this decadence, and they're taking us into a different, this is their plan, to take us into a different age, an age where it's all about it's pagan based. Okay. Now I'm not I don't associate with any particular religion. I'm just telling you that's where it's going. Okay, it's pagan based. Now, it's you can call it Luciferianism. You can call it Thelema, which is Crowley's religion. You could talk about it as the cult of Dionysus, the cult of Pan. Pick one. That's what it's all about. But yeah, so Hollywood, same thing. I mean, they were moving at the same rate and pace as the music industry. Now, I'm also a retired master hypnotherapist.
Wow.
And so I retired back last year after 12 years of private practice. Now, the reason why TV is extremely
Interesting.
impactful, and I've actually done presentations on this, David, is because TV is giving you visuals and the subconscious mind loves imagery. So when you're watching television and then you've got the actor speaking or you've got some kind of narration going on, that's essentially the post-hypnotic suggestions. That's essentially the hypnotist narrating for you what's going on, what it is you're watching. There's no doubt that anybody who's watching this right now has seen a significant increase in the controller's agenda item. You watch just about anything on Netflix these days.
All that.
It's all there. Those elements are all there. And that's to get you to accept it. That's because you're watching it. And then what they do is they package it. Again, like I said before, it's about presentation as something that's it's good. It's you know,
A rainbow.
it's nothing. It's not anything to be concerned about. Don't be alarmed. It's just a different lifestyle, and you know, and I piss a lot of people off when I say what I'm going to say.
Be
They're
careful
going
because I
against.
want this. It's going so good for YouTube.
I'm just going to say that it's cutting across the grain. It's cutting across the natural order. That's all I'll say. Okay. Now I'll leave it there. And let me just tell you something. I'm very compassionate. I have a lot of empathy for every human being. But what we're seeing today, this is an agenda. This is not about helping these groups. These groups are being used, they're being leveraged to push an agenda forward. Because at the end of the day, what I mentioned earlier about what they're looking for by the time they get to the year 2100 is their new order with a lot less people. They're not going to care what your orientation is.
Yeah.
They don't
That's how
care.
and that's how you get to a lot less people too, is by same sex. I mean, they can't reproduce unless they adopt, right? So that's how you get it. So if you keep pushing that, it's an end of a lineage, you know,
Well,
it's a
exactly. So
end of a species.
there's a lot of things going on that are contributing to the lack of fertility. Inability to procreate. One of it goes back to the event starting in March 2020. Okay.
Yep.
That is a major, major player. I won't say any more because I guess David wants to keep
This
this
right
on.
here, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Can make hand
So,
signal. That's what I do.
yeah, and you've got the endocrine disruptors in plastics and all kinds of stuff in the food, the water, the air, and so on. So,
You
you
know, I mean,
know,
it just seems people are going to watch this and be like, man, we're doomed.
well, you know, it's
What do we
look,
do? This is horrible.
we've got to, the thing is, I know it sounds horrible, it does, But if we don't talk about it, if we don't raise the awareness and make people, if it doesn't pique their interest, then they're not going to do anything about it. So if you think what I'm saying now is not good, it's just only going to get a lot worse if you don't wake up.
Right. And I say this all the time to people. I'm a living example of this. I was juggling extremes. I was juggling alcoholism, boxing, fighting women, the whole thing. I mean, I was just crazy, right? And it wasn't until I had my self-awareness, that I came upon and said, if I keep doing this, I'm going to die. And it's done. It's over. I had to first come to the conclusion, like, I had to make a change. I had to have the awareness about me to say, something is wrong here.
Right.
That's the first step in anything, is understanding that something is wrong. Then you can make a change. Then you can go forward and start changing things in your life. So I'm a living example of that, and I'm proud to say that. I mean, I should be gone. I'm on bonus time. I'm telling you that right now. And I think that's what we have to do as a society. And when we start talking about things like this, when I bring you on my program, we talk about things like this. This is the initial first step, correct?
Right, right. So the thing, what I tell my audience, David, is do not under any circumstances relinquish your authority. You are your own authority. So when you go outside of yourself and you give your authority to that particular politician or that person in government or that person in the NIH or these different agencies, okay, that's all I'm going to say. Like I said, to keep this YouTube friendly. Once you do that, you have given up your authority. You have disempowered yourself because you're no longer critically thinking. You're no longer leading your own life. You've taken your hands off your steering wheel. Don't do that. Keep your hands on the steering wheel and critically think. Think for yourself. Okay? The television was put in place, folks, to brainwash you. That's what the TV box, the TV is a hypnosis box. That's what it is. Make no mistake about it.
Television program.
Program. That's right. And you know, when they have news anchors in hypnosis, we use anchoring techniques in order to embed whatever suggestions or whatever work we're doing with the client who comes in for a hypnosis session. When I was doing it, I was doing it for all good stuff to get people to stop smoking, stop vaping, for public speaking, self-confidence, and all of that. That's what I was doing it for. But those same techniques can be used for nefarious reasons. What I tell people in my audience, David, is it's all about intent. This is bad. That's bad. This symbol's bad. That symbol's bad. No. It's not the symbols. It's the intent. It's the intention.
Intention behind it.
Right.
Just like the Japanese scientist with water, right?
Yes.
I forgot his name. That it's all about intention that changes the molecular structure of water.
Yes.
Correct.
We are
water beings. We're vibrational beings made of water, and it is intent. And if you put love on a bottle and have that intent on the bottle, it changes the molecular structure of the water. If you put hatred or whatever on the bottle and put that intent on the bottle, it corrodes.
That's right.
We are the same.
That's right. And that's what they try to do. See, the controllers constantly bombard you with fear. That's why you got to shut the television off, shut the TV off.
I don't watch it.
By being in fear all the time, what's happening is exactly what David is saying. Your internal being becomes corrupted. And then your mind is in a very bad place. You're worrying all the time. You're stressing. You're fearful. You were not born into this life to live a life like that. That's being imposed upon you. It's a battle of will. It's their will versus your will.
But Mike, I mean, to fight this fight against this power it be, we have to. I'm in high adrenaline all day long doing these programs, putting the word out there, getting the truth out there. I even when I was boxing, I was terrified every day. I mean, I was going into the ring, fighting the best guys in the gym, sparring with the top 10 heavyweights of the world, and all the time I was always in a state of fear. And I am now with these programs that I'm putting out. I'm like, and I have this adrenaline going. So it is a kind of like a state of fear, but I feel like I have to be in that state to continue this fight. I can't ignore it. I can't sit back and do nothing. So what do you have to say about that? Like, I have to be immersed in this to fight this fight and get the word out there. So what do you say about that? I mean, what do I do? Just not do it and just listen to happy music all the time?
No.
What do I do?
What I'm saying is that, you have to push through the fear. There's always going to be a bit of fear. What I would love for people to do is, see, look, when I speak or when David speaks, don't, a lot of people look at it and they take it as entertainment. I call it conspiratainment. They listen to it. And then as soon as the show is off, they're out doing stuff that, you know, that contributes
right
to the enablement of the agenda, right? Now, let's just face it, folks, right? Be honest with yourself. This is what goes on. So what we really need to do is more voices, more websites, more blogs, more podcasts, more research. People need to speak up. People need to step out of the shadows. Stop being afraid. And, you know, it is uncomfortable to put yourself out there. It is. Because as soon as you do, especially when you reach a certain level of notoriety, in other words, a certain level of reach, the clowns come out, the trolls come out, right? And a lot of that is controlled. They're coming at you for, you know, because you become a target and they try to disrupt whatever it is you're trying to do or the message you're trying to get out. But the thing is, like I said, when you stand in your own authority, are there moments when you're going to be fearful? Yeah. But you know what? You got to push through the fear and you have to say, what kind of life do I want to live? Do I want to live in their system? A system of 15-minute cities, eating bugs, I'll own nothing and I'll be happy? That's not what I want. It's not what I want for my children. It's not what I want for
it's
my
grandson. It's the end of humanity.
Grandson.
It's the total enslavement and bondage of humanity.
Right.
If we don't fight this war now, it is the end of us. This is it forever, folks. This is not, a few years, it's going to be bad. No, this is it. They own us. They got us, right?
Right. Well, and the thing was, I believe, David, that voices like yours and others that are doing this work were key in creating, throwing a, okay?
Right.
I believe they wanted that to go a lot quicker. They wanted a slam dunk. That's what they wanted. And move on to the next agenda item. And it didn't happen. And a lot of information came out and it jammed them up. And it sent
behind
them back.
Schedule, from what I understand.
They are. And it sent them back to the drawing board. Now, here's the thing. They're not just going to go lie down and go away. They're going to go back to the drawing board and they're going to come back with a revamped plan that we were talking about before with the AI constantly being fed, right? So, and it's up to us to continue. We don't give up either. We just keep fighting them and fighting them until we're able to turn the corner. You know, somebody wants to ask me, why is it that evil dominates? You know,
because good people do nothing.
It's because, good people. And the thing is, evil knows no boundaries, whereas good does. There is a certain boundary where you and I would say, we're not going to do that. Evil doesn't think that way. Evil's like, I don't have boundaries.
I mean, every time I got in the ring, I had to justify ripping someone's head off. I was just like, this is for the greater good. That's greater good.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to think like a wolf. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, so I do. I mean,
your record was quite impressive, by the way. I took a look
you.
At how many.
Yeah.
You
was 36-0 at my peak. I was 36-0, 34 knockouts, 24 in the first, 25 in the first round.
And that's a record, right? How many? The 25 in the first round?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever beat that.
Nobody's beat that. I don't know how I did that. I was just relentless. I don't know. I just had great power and speed at both hands.
I followed boxing going way back with Ali, Frazier, Kenny Norton, George Foreman.
Oh, I love all of them.
Mike Quarry. Remember Mike Quarry?
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, I knew of you. Then I took a closer look and, quite impressive.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I miss it. I mean, I look at my belts every day and I think to myself, where did that guy go?
Oh, that, you know what? That's a phase of your life, David. You did it.
Yeah.
You were successful. And then life changes. Different opportunities present themselves. And here you are today doing
I think about working out and getting in the gym and I just tired of thinking about it. I just get exhausted even thinking about it. I'm like, man, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
My back hurts. My knees hurt. My legs hurt. My feet hurt. My hands hurt. It's like, time to move on. You know, it's a brief moment in time. But, man, I felt like Superman. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But
Well, like I said, a different phase of your life now. And the same thing with me. I had different phases of my life, and here I am today, you know. So
This is the most important.
this is very important. This is stepping out of the matrix. This is stepping out of the virtual reality that they fed everybody and trying to get us back,
this
get us
is all of
grounded.
That everything you went through led to this. Everything I went through led to this. And
that's
here
right.
We are doing, and here we are broadcasting it to the world.
I was in the corporate world for 32 years, David, and people say, well, Mike, you know, did you think that you wasted your time there? No, I didn't waste my time there. It was foundational to what I'm doing today. If I didn't work in the corporate world for 32 years, then I would have no idea about what the corporate world was really about and how it plays into everything that's going on today.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. So you were, it's almost like you were a student of it to know what you're, so for everything that you're telling me and my audience today, it's a culmination of all that. It was a process of learning.
Right.
And even though I felt like an abused stepchild in boxing, you know, like with the promo, I mean, in the thick of it with terrible managers, promoters, you know, it's horrible, but it gave me an education that no other person can have. It's an amazing education. And now I'm trying to take my wits and everything that I've learned through my career and help people with shows like this.
Yeah. No, it's a good thing that you're doing. And you have a lot of subscribers, right? 250 something thousand subscribers.
266 right now. It's moving up. But I mean, it's because I'm staying very careful. I could have more if I was just to go balls out on YouTube, but I have to play it safe. And, you know, but I think the main thing is I keep the town hall and the town square, and I am able to funnel people to different directions, you know, to get more information. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I do the same
thing. I'm playing their game, but I'm beating them at their game.
Well, to a degree, you play their game because they are still the largest video platform available.
Right.
This is where people go, right? I've been trying to get people to go to my other platforms for years.
They just don't go.
They just don't go. They sit here in front of YouTube. So what I ended up doing was I would take certain shows and I would edit them and make them YouTube friendly. I would call it the YouTube edition.
Yes.
And then I would say, hey, if you want the full show, go over here. See the link in the description.
And that's what I'm going to do. This is going to get edited. They're going to have to, but it'll be on ninoscorner.tv and later on Rumble, but the edited version will be on YouTube. I'm surprised you have a channel on YouTube.
Yeah, I do. But I had a lot of, you know, there was a lot of videos that were taken down. I mean, they were taking videos down. Like last month, they took a video down that was up for 7 or 8 years.
Jeez.
Yeah, what were you
saying?
What
was
Switch?
That video?
Oh, I don't even remember. I was talking about, I think it mentioned, I can't even say it. It mentioned what happened in 2001 in Manhattan.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I still kind of talk about that openly. So
that was 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
And YouTube yanked it and said that, you know, it violated their community guidelines.
Wow.
It's hate speech. That's what they call it, hate speech.
Yeah. Well, let me get this up on YouTube. And I'm going to put this on ninoscorner.tv and Rumble as well. So all three platforms.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Is the full version going to be on Rumble? Is that what you're going to do?
I'm going to put the edited version first on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I'll put the full version on ninoscorner.tv and Rumble. Later, Rumble. Rumble's like a couple weeks down the line.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate you, Mike. Let's get on for some more of these.
Absolutely, David. Yeah, we could talk about a lot more.
This
I really appreciate. Yeah, Beth, thank you for connecting us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mike. God bless
you. Bye-bye.
Where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. Just go to my hub website. It's Sage of Quay, SageOfQuay, sageofquay.com. It's a hub site, so all of my links to my different platforms, my music and all that stuff, it's all there. It's one-stop shop.
Cool. All right, Mike, take care of yourself.
All right, David. Bye-bye now. God bless.